Is daf pei tes. So we got to the last line. I think I got to the last line. Pei chesem and beis. That works for everyone. Excellent. So the Gemara then says, last line of pei chesem and beis. V'amar Rava, Rava says, b'schar shamar Avram Avinu, with the schar Avram got for saying the following pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. It's very dear to me. This is my bar mitzvah parsha. Im yichut v'ad sur chanal. So if you took from a string until sur chanal until the shoe. So for saying that he didn't want to take anything after winning the wars. He didn't want to take any of the spoils of the war. I'm not taking anything from the string until the shoe, nothing. So since he had said that, the Gemara says, Zocha banav l'shtei mitzvos. We, as Bnei Yisrael, were zocha to two mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of we're zocha to the string of tchelas on tzitzis, of course, and to the strap of tefillin. We know there's a connection between the nail and the tefillin. The way we tie and put shoes on is modeled after the tying of tefillin. So, righty, let's say, we tie our tefillin on the left hand, so we tie the left shoe first. A lefty who ties his tefillin on his right hand should tie his right shoe first. So there's a correlation between, I'm sure much deeper than that, between the shoes and the tefillin. So for again saying that line, he was zocha, we were zocha to two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tcheles and the mitzvah of tefillin. So Gemara says, Bishma, this makes sense, ritzua shel tefillin. That I understand, meaning, because what was the, no, what's the schar of wearing tefillin? There must be some, not tangible, but some schar we get for this. So what's the schar for wearing tefillin? The Gemara says, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, V'ro ko'am me'haretz kishem Hashem nikra ilecha. And then it says, V'yara mimecha. So then they, all the ame'haretz, all the people of the world are going to see that we're wearing tefillin. They're going to be scared of us. That's the hana, V'tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Agada Omer, Elu Tefillin Shabarosh. When they see the Tefillin Shabarosh, they're going to see the letters of Shin Kei, Shin Dal Yud. We discussed this yesterday in the Drasha and Hashkama Minin. That Shin Dal Yud, they're going to get scared of this. So that makes sense what the Hana is, what the Schar is that we're going to benefit from wearing Tefillin. Elachut Shat Tcheles Mahi. What's the Hana? What's the Schar of wearing Tcheles? Aside from being a mitzvah, there must be some Hana that we get from this. So the Gemara explains a famous Gemara as well, found in Maseches Menachos, this Anya. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ma nishtana tcheles? Why was tcheles used? What's unique about tcheles? Mikol hatzivonim, from all the other colors in the world. Mipnei shetcheles domel yam, has a similar color to the sea. The yam domel rakia, rakia domel even sapir, the even sapir domel kisei kavod. All these things remind us of different stages: the sea, and then the rakia, and then this rock, and then the kisei kavod. The chesiv, as it says, vayurasel kei yisrael vasachas raglav, and it goes on to say, kimase livnas hasapir uketzem hashemayim latorah, the parshas we find ourselves in now. So we see this connection that it reminds us of the tachas raglav. The sapir is an image of what the kisei hakavod is like, and kimare even sapir the mus kisei. Except that's another pasuk that points it out. So that's the hana that we're getting, that inspiration that we see, reminding us of the kisei hakavod when we wear tcheles. That's the hana, that's the schar that we were zocha to from this maisa of Avram Avinu. Norna goes to a series of different statements in Agata to the end of the parak now. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, kasha legezel hanechal, that so difficult is a stolen gezel that's been eaten, that's already been used, shafilu tzadikun gemurim einum yichol nahachziro. That's very hard to return gezela. But certainly, if the gezela has already been nechal, has already been eaten, and you can't calculate what had been taken away, that's even harder to do a full tshuva, and even for a tzadik gemar, he's not able to do full tshuva. Where does this come from? So this is also from Parshas Lech Lecha in the collecting or not collecting the spoils of war. It says, Bila shenemar biladai rak asher achlu hanarim. Avram took nothing from the spoils of war. He didn't owe anything back, but his soldiers, people that were with him, the Na'arim, the little kids who were with him, who ate from the Mechama, they already had taken that she'ochla Na'arim, that even Avram couldn't return. Now, even though Avram wasn't directly responsible for this, he was saying, I'm not taking anything, I'm giving everything back, biladai, except for that which the Na'arim took, that I can't do anything about. Just showing how difficult it is to return, to undo a gezela, and certainly if the gezela is already kvar ne'echal. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Shimon. Whenever you hear the words of Rabbi Eliezer saying something in the world of Haggadah, Asi aznecha kafar keses. Make your ears like some type of funnel to be able to pay attention. Pay attention closely to what he says. So they say one statement he had once said, Pasuk in Devarim, lo merubchem mikol ha'amim chashik Hashem b'chem. Not from your rubchem, from your greatness, from amongst all the amim the Kadosh Baruch Hu desire. So what is it referring to? So Amar lema Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem says to Am Yisrael, choshkani b'chem, I have so much desire to be close to you. Why? Shafilu b'shashani. But the pasuk goes on to say, the end of the pasuk is also important. It says, Vayivchar b'chem, I chose you, ki atem ha-ma'at mikol ha'amim. You are the smallest amongst all the nations. So what's the Kadosh Baruch Hu telling us here? So he darshans. Amar lema Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael, choshkeni b'chem, I very much desire being with you. Shafilu b'shashani mashbi'a l'chem gedula. Even the moments when I give you guys greatness, you still humble yourself in front of us. How? Nasati gedula l'Avram. I gave greatness to Avram Avinu, and despite that fact, what happened? Amar lefanai vanochi ofer ve'efer. Despite being elevated to a high status and being told that he's going to destroy Sodom v'Amora, Avram was being consulted with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What greater gedula than that? And then he says, vanochi ofer ve'efer. I'm nothing more than dirt and dust, dirt and ashes. The Moshe, a similar thing happens. He says to Moshe and Aaron, Amru, and they tell him how great you are, that Moshe, you're going to lead Am Yisrael. And Aaron, you're going to be the Kohen Gadol of Am Yisrael. And yet, what do they say? Nachnuma, what are we? We're nothings. And it says, till David Amar, Vanochi Talas, David was appointed king, Vanochi Talas Velo Ish, I'm a worm and I'm not a man. But that's what happens when a member of Klal Yisrael becomes appointed to a significant position. Aval Ov De Kochavim Enoken. The Gaim are completely the opposite. Nasati gedula l'Nimrod. I appointed Nimrod to be a king of Dor HaFlaga. Amar, what did he say? Hava nivna lanu ir. Let's build a city. Let's build a tower. Let's destroy Kadosh Baruch Hu. The power I gave Paro to be king over Mitzrayim. Amar, mi Hashem, who is this God who I need to contend with? The Sancheireva, I appointed him to be king. Amar, mi bechol elo hei aratas. Who is amongst all the gods of the world? Levnevuchanetzar, Amar says, Ele abamase av, which some type of, I'm not sure how they define this. Let's go up to the thickness of death, it seems. And Lechira Melchsur, when he was appointed king, Amar, he says, Moshe ve'elokim yeshafti b'levi yamim, the place of the God is, he sits in the heart of the waters, which makes it very small to compare, of course, what he is. So this is a great difference between Am Yisrael, the leaders of Am Yisrael, versus the leaders of the nation in the world. Gemara says further, similar topic, Amar Rava, V'same others say Rabbi Yochanan was saying this, Gadol, what Shenemar b'Moshe v'Aaron, Yos mimash Shenemar b'Avram. Greater was the humility of Moshe and Aaron than the humility of Avram. Now that's not, of course, to belittle the humility of Avram, but it was still greater by Moshe and Aaron. Why? Dilu b'Avram k'siv anochi ofer ve'efer, I am nothing more than dirt and ashes, but v'ilu b'Moshe v'Aaron k'siv nachnuma, what are we? We're nothing. So at least Avram acknowledged he was something. It wasn't anything significant. It was ofer ve'efer. But Moshe and Aaron said, we're a zero. We're nothing at all. Nachnuma, what are we? So that's the greater anivus by Moshe and Aaron. V'amar Rava, Rava says further, v'item Rabbi Yochanan, ein ha'olam miskayim el b'shvil Moshe v'Aaron. The world only is in existence because there's a chus and Moshe Aaron. What do they do that was so great? K'siv Hachet says here, V'nachnuma, what are we? K'siv Hachet is written in the Pasuk in Iyova, Tole Eretz al Blima. That the world is a Tole, it's being hanging, it's being held up by those who are Blima. What does Blima mean? Those that were bowling this out, that closed their mouths, that didn't respond at all, that stayed quiet. So what does it mean? When's the example? That Amar Rabbi Yilah, Ein Ha'olam Miskayim El Bishvil Mi Shebolim Etz Atmo. The world only exists in the Zechus of those who are closing their mouth or don't respond. Bishas Mariva. When a person's in a fight, when you're being attacked, to be able to stand there and just be silent is a tremendous, tremendous level of self-control. So during the debate with, I think, deferring to Korach, so then they stayed quiet and said, let's see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us. So it says, Shenemar Tola Eretz Al Blima. So in light of their ability, the self-control to stay quiet, that's why the Tola Eretz Al Blima. Rabbi Abohu Amar, he said that the world is Mekayim on Misha Mesim Asmo Kimisha Enu. Those who are very humble, those who treat themselves as a nothing, Shenemar just says, Mitachas Zeros Olam. Those who allow themselves to be all trampled over, those like seeds, like Zeros, that's what the world is relying on, those types of individuals. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, another pasuk. My dichsid, what does it mean in the pasuk until when it says ha'umnam elam tzedek tidabru tidaberun meisharim tishpetu b'nei adam? So what's umnam? Ma umanasa shall adam ba'olam hazeh? What's the umanasa? What's the trade? What's the profession of an individual in this world? So yasim atma b'kilem, to make himself ha umnam is to be like an elam, to be like an elam, to be quiet, to be silent. Shtika is the greatest media the Mishnah Avos talks about. Yachal, one may think, so afla divrei Torah, you should be quiet even in the world of divrei Torah. Tamalomar tzedek tidaberim, but tzedek, which is a reference to Torah, that you should speak. Be silent, ha'umnam elim, but tzedek tidaberim, that you should speak. Yachal yagis daita, one may think, so if it comes to limud Torah, a person should become a ba'al gaiva. So Gemara says, tamalomar meisharim tishpatu b'nei adam. A person should still be yasher, should be straight, should be leveled like the ground, and that's how a person should conduct himself. Be silent in general, learn when it comes to Torah, but yet still stay humble, stay yashar with the world. Gemara now says, back to Kisei Dam, just for the last few lines of the parak here, Amar Rebbe Zi'era, V'yisei Merabba Bar Yirmiyah, Mechasin Ba'afar Ir Hanadachas. You're allowed to use the dirt of the Ir Nadachas that's left over after burning the Ir Nadachas. We know Ir Nadachas is a city that they worship the Avodah Zarah as an entire city. So the halach is that you kill them all and you also burn all the possessions, all the Nechasim go to the center of the city and it gets burnt. That afar, that dirt or those ashes are able to be used to cover up the Dam of Kisei Adam. So the Gemara says, why? Why is that allowed? If I'm I, Yisr Hanahi, the lach is, the pasuk says, V'lo yidbak biyotcha mu'uma min acherim. Don't take from that acherim, referring to Ir Nadachas. You can't get any hana from the Ir Nadachas. So how are you able to use the remaining offer / afer? So Amr Ziri, Ziri explains, lo nitzcha, it's only needed for elala afar. Afar. What's afar? Afara? So Rashi explains, afar afar is the afar of the karka. No, the ashes, the afer, is not really allowed to be used. The ashes remaining from the burning of the possessions, that's not allowed. The dirt, that which is mechubal lakarka, the ground, that's allowed to be used. You could scrape up the ground, even though it was a place of Ir Nidachas. The chsiv, as it says in the pasuk, v'es kol shlola tikbots, all the spoils, all the possessions of the Ir Nidachas is tikbots. You gather together, el toch rechova, into the center of the street, v'serafta, you burn it there. So the lach is that mi she'ena mechutz el kvitza usreifa, only that way, what's burnt? Only that which lacks kvitza and then sreifa. That's what's aser. But that which is yatzezeh she'mechutz tlisha and then kvitza sreifa, that which is attached to the ground, the dirt of the ground, you first have to be tolish it, first have to detach it from the ground, then you have to gather it, and then you have to burn it. That's not bechlal the iser hana, and that's the chiddush of Ze'iri, that you're allowed to use for covering up the blood for Kisei Adam. Excellent. We're always going to get into that. We're always going to address those questions very good. And there's a long tosis here about that as well. Maybe we'll do a little bit. This is a big sugya, but yes, Eina Chanami. So the Gemara says, Rava, Amar Rava says, you know why? Yeah, even able to, you even could use the afer of the Srefa. That's allowed. Why? Because mitzvah's lav lehenos nitnu. Because even though you can't get hana, when it comes to a fulfillment of a mitzvah, we never view that as getting hana. That's not called hana. That's called just checking your box. It's doing your mitzvahs. That's not a violation of hana. And even the afer, srefas, afer, hapara, afer, rather, near the ir nadachas, that is permitted. So Yasser Ravina is one sitting down learning. The Kamar Lohal Shmais, who's going through the sugya about the afer offer of the ir nadachas, and Esivah, he asked the question, Rav Ruchumi the Ravina. Rav Ruchumi challenged Ravina with the following question, similar to the question of Andy. Shofar shel avodas kochavim lo yiskabo. If you have a shofar that was used for avodah zarah, you may not use it as a shofar. My lav imtaka layata, does that not mean if you did blow it, you weren't yotei the mitzvah at all? So the Gemara says that, so what's the question? So you see, you cannot use even an Isser Hana for a mitzvah, right? Rava just said, for an Isser Hana, you may use for a mitzvah. That's why you could use the Afer of the Inadachas. So why shouldn't you be able to use the Shofar of Avodah Zarah? Granted, it's Aser Bana, but it's mitzvah's lav lehenosnit nu. So you should be able to use it. So Gemara says, lo. Im taka yatza einachanami yuri yotze. Lichatchila, better to have a regular shofar and not use that of avodah zarah. But if one were to use it, so then you'd be yotze anyways because mitzvah lav nenas nitnu. So then the Gemara asks, this was Andy's question now. Lulav shavodas kachavim lo yital. A person shouldn't take a lulav of avodah zarah. My lav sheim natal. If you took it lo yotze, it's not yotze the mitzvah. So we see from here that you cannot use a dvarm shasum b'ana even for mitzvahs. So Gemara says, lo, im natalya, it's the same thing, that lichachila you shouldn't, it's best to use something that's not a vodazara, that which is an aser bana, but if one had taken it, b'dieved, you would still be yotze, because again, mitzvahs lav lenos nitnu, it's not going to get in the way of fulfilling your mitzvah. So how Tanya, the Gemara says, now, you guys, mamash, you learned Masech Eskulin beautifully. Look at the next Brisa. The Gemara says, how Tanya, the Brisa says, Taka layotza, nata layotza. The Brisa clearly says, even b'dieved, you're not yotze the mitzvah of shofar from a vodah zara. You're not mitzvah yotze the mitzvah of lulav with even b'dieved. So we see that we even for that which asur bana does not work for a mitzvah, so it shouldn't work either for the mitzvah of kisei adam. So Amar Rav Ashi, says, Hachi Hashi, let's understand this for a moment. Hasim over there by the case of Lulav and by the case of the shofar. Shi'ura, ba'ina, like Ezra just said, you need a shear of a shofar, has to be a certain size. The Rashi quotes the shear here, top Rashi, and we'll get to that in just a second. Vavodachavim Ketuse Mechta Shi'ura Avodazara, since there's a requirement to burn it, so we view it being burnt as right and ready burnt now, which means it lacks the shear necessary for the shofar and for the Lulav respectively, and that's the problem. Nothing to do with Hana. Having to do with lacking the shear necessary. But hacha, when it comes to kisei adam, there's no inyan of shear. Hacha, the mechtas mali the kisei, the more ground up it is, the more burnt, the more ashes it becomes, it's actually better. We dafka don't want a shear when it comes to kisei adam. So in the end, when it comes to things asur bana, you're allowed to use them for all mitzvahs. The only restriction is if you need a shear for that mitzvah, and since these are avodah zarah, which has to be burnt, it lacks that shear even before it's burnt. Let's just look at Rashi to make everything very clear. Rashi, the top Rashi in Pei Tesema Beis, says, Shi'ur ba'inan, b'shofar k'dei shi'achol zeni b'yado, you have to have a shofar large enough where you hold it in your hand, v'yira lakan lakan, it sticks out a little bit on each side of your hand, so a little bit more than a tefach, k'damrina b'Rosh Hashanah, lulav mefarish b'masech ha-sukkah, the shir is hadas v'arava shlosh ha-tvachim, and lulav is a fourth tefach, is a one tefach higher than that. Misha says, k'dei l'na'anea, in order to make it shake a little bit more than the other ones. V'avodach kachavim, kevan dilisreif ha-kaima, since you have to burn the avodah zara, kol ha-omid lisrof, kisarv dami, that which has already a verdict, that has a psak din, you have to burn it, so it's already viewed as being burnt now. And hilkach, shirahu, the ktusei mechtas, it's viewed as lacking the shir currently. When it comes to kisei adam, kama desarif, the more you burn it, umechtas, and you grind it up, mala lekiso, it's more beneficial, more effective for kisei adam, umishim hana leka, the mitzvah lav, lehenes nitnu, hajinalach, kisei adam. Now, before we begin the next parak of Gid Hanasha, just go back to Amun Aleph just for a moment to look at a Tosus. It's a long Tosus, but we're going to look at just the beginning of it. Tosus writes, Vahatanya. So that Tosus, we just jump down like four or five lines in that Tosus where it says v'im tomar. The first word is v'lulav. It's four lines down, v'lulav. Five lines down, v'lulav. V'im tomar. B'perek Re'u Bezdin, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, Amar Rava, shofar she'avodas kochavim lo yitka ba, v'im taka ba yatsa. That you shouldn't use it, but if you do, you yotze. V'chein b'perek mitzvah chalitza, the Gemara Nivamas tells us, Amar Rava, hacheletes b'sandal she'avodas kochavim. If you use a shoe that was used for avodah zarah, chalitza sekshera, it works. Even though you need a shear, there's a certain shear you need for chalitza. V'lo amrina d'mechta she'ira. So we have two examples, one by the shofar avodah zarah, one by a sandal of avodah zarah, where you do require shear, and yet we say you have the shear necessary. How come the Gemara here tells us that when that which is avodah zarah, we view it as not having a shear? So Tosus answers v'yesh lomar, a very fundamental difference in avodah zarah. The hacha b'avodas kochavim she yisrael de'ein la bittel about the ovid kochavim the yesh la bittel lo mechtas shi'ura. There is a concept: if a yid owns avodah zarah, there's never you're never allowed to be mevatel it. It's usher forever, no matter how many things you try to be mevatel it, it doesn't work. So that lacks shear. It's mamish and isser, you can't get rid of that isser. By a avodah zarah owned by a goy, if it gets mixed with a certain amount of whatever the ratio is, there is bittel, so there's a less isser. The isser is less when it comes to the avodah zarah owned by a goy, therefore we don't view it as mechta shiru, because there's a way actually to rehabilitate it. If I take this shoe and put it amongst 1,000 shoes, then we say, ah, it's batel, it's permitted. So
the goy can batel it.
The goy can. The goy can batel it in Israel.
Exactly. Without being mixed up, you can just say this is not
right
anymore.
As opposed to yid, it's not allowed to, the bittel doesn't
right.
work ever. I think you're probably not even talking about my case, about Rove. It's probably referring to the ability to just say it's batel,
right.
And that way you show it's not necessarily going to be burnt, and therefore we can acknowledge it as having a shear right now.
This is when he makes it into an avodah zarah, or is it ready to avodah zarah?
Where he used it, I believe, as avodah zarah, I think. I think so. So that's there's more to learn the Tosafot, but that's just a little touch on that din. Okay, let's begin the next parak, Gid Hanasha. We begin the seventh parak, Gid Hanasha. This is just a few blot long, and then we get to the exciting parak of Kol Basar, the eighth parak. Well, you have pictures already?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's right in your face.
We look at it.
That's like the picture on the 2.0 magazine. Okay, in your face. Okay. Mishnah says the new parak tells us Gid Hanasha. The Gid Hanasha is knowing ba'aretz b'chutz la'aretz b'fnei abayis shlo b'fnei abayis b'chulun muktashim. Replies across the board. Again, the reason why we have all these details is because all the prakim of Sechas Chulun are discussing differences. But of course, this is a din that applies no matter where you are, no matter when you live. The Gid Hanasha is an iser deraisa. So the Gemara says that Mishnah says not only by chulun but muktashim as well. That's going to be the focus of today's daf. V'noig b'behema b'chaya. It's knowing a domesticated animal, a wild animal. V'yarech shiyamim the right thigh is where the iser takes place, and v'yarech shasimol in the left thigh as well. V'veinu noag ba'of, it doesn't apply to an oaf. Mipnei she'ein lo kaf, they have no kaf. Rashi says we'll learn what that means in the Gemara, the different biology of it. V'noag b'shliel, and it applies to the shliel as well, which Rashi explained what's a shliel. Shliel is the benteisha chai hanimsa b'mehema. If you find a fetus that's in the animal that hasn't been born just yet, so that that also has a din of the Gid Hanasha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he argues and says that the Gid Hanasha does not apply if the fetus has not been born into this world, so there is no violation of Gid Hanasha. The chelba mutter, the fat of the, it's going back on the chelav. The chelav of behemah is normally aser, but the chelav here of the shliel is going to be mutter, he says. Fine, so that's the din of Rabbi Yehuda. He says that the Gid Hanasha, the whole shliel is not a din of behemah. The Gid Hanasha is permitted, the chelav is permitted. And then the Mishnah concludes, ve'ena tabachim, the shochtim, ne'manim ala Gid Hanasha, we do not trust a tabach. We don't trust the shochet. The shochet says, you know, here I'm selling you a Gid Hanasha, and I'm selling you the animal. I already removed the Gid Hanasha. We don't trust him. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The reason why is because it's a big tircha to take out the Gid Hanasha, so we don't trust him. However, Chachamim Omrim Ne'manim Alav Ve'al Chelav. Even though that's the case, we do trust him that if he removes the Gid Hanasha, and if he removes the chaylev, we trust him that he in fact did this. This is very halach l'maisa. If there's a buying meat, it's also a halach l'maisa, something similar to trusting, let's say, people who sell suits. They tell you, I promise you, there's no shatnez in these suits. Do you, can you rely on them, or can you not rely on them? It's a big tircha. If you find shatnez, it's a big tircha to remove the shatnez. So can you trust them? And the answer is most likely you probably can trust them, because if they're caught, it's going to be bad. They're going to lose their business. And most likely there's no shatnez in these suits anyways. If it's less than $1,000, ask Ricky. It's hard to find the shatnez these days.
But I was reading on the Jerusalem Post that it seems like the Uggs, they found it's a
whole... Yeah, no, they're going back and forth about this, yeah. I've been on the Halacha chat, people know, ask me questions now about this.
Inside, they take old fabric and they destroy it, and that's how they make it. Uh-huh. It's very hard to control.
Uh-huh, so... I don't know. I just keep telling people just go call the Shatnez lab. But I don't know anything about Shatnez, so.
Isn't the maskam, you have to bring it in?
Yeah. You should call them. Yeah, bring them in.
I think that has much more chance.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Uggs than anything else, because they take any fabrics and they mix them and they just put it there because it's not really woven.
Okay, so next time they ask me, I'll say Ricky Goldschmidt told me.
I'm just saying that there's definitely a chance.
Yeah.
You know,
no, they say they are. They're
much less.
All the Shatnez labs are saying you have to send in the Uggs.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay. Gemara now says Mukdashin Pshita. So Gemara had said, the Mishnah had said that Gid Hanasha applies equally to Mukdashim as it does to Chulun. So Mukdashim Pshita, of course, why would you think that animal, cow, that had was a Chulun animal, that had a Gid Hanasha, which is Aser, and now Makdash the animal to Mizbeach, it loses the Issa Gid Hanasha? Pshita, Mishum Da'akdashay, Pakale Issa Gid Minei, the cow once had an Issa Gid Hanasha, now I make it Hektash for Beis HaMikdash, that's going to undo, it's going to be Pakale Issa Gid Hanasha, that doesn't make any sense. V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, no, Yesh begidim no sein tam. The idea is that there's a machlokas we're going to see developed a little bit later on the parak, that there's a machlokas whether or not the Gid Hanasha, gidim in general, the sinews, have no flavor really to them. So do we view them as being like eitz ba'alma, like a piece of bark, a piece of tree, a wood, that has no nosein tam, that doesn't give any flavor? Or do we say that there is nosein tam, it does have some level of flavor, although it's very, very subtle, it does have some tam, it's nosein tam. So if you're going to tell me yesh begidim b'no sein tam, the aser iser mukdashim v'chala iser gid, So if the chiddush is, we know there's a vada get on usher. That's certainly the case. There's an iser get on usher. The chiddush the Mishnah is telling me, on top of the iser get on usher, there's an iser of hektish as well. That if you eat the animal, you're violating me'ila as a second iser. If that's the chiddush, it's a chiddush of iser chalal iser. So then that doesn't make sense either, because the language of the Mishnah doesn't fit in. Hi, Mukdashim Noeg begin me by the way. It should say Mukdashim, meaning the iser hektish is Noeg on get on ushers as well. But our Mishnah says that Giranasha is being noeg on Mukdashim. It should have said Mukdashim is noeg on Giranasha, since Giranasha came first. That the cow was born in this world that had an Isser Giranasha, and the Chiddush we're suggesting is there's also an Isser Mukdashim as well. It should have said that the language should have been Mukdashim is noeg begid mi barley, and it doesn't say that. So it can't be that we're assuming that there's a Yesh begidim and Nosin Tam. Now the relevance of Nosin Tam is as follows. Everyone agrees Giranasha is Usser. Whether you assume Nosin Tam or not Nosin Tam, it's a Mefurish Pasuk, you can't eat Giranasha. But regarding Mukdashim, the Isser Hektish is only Chal on that which has Nosin Tam. If it doesn't have Nosin Tam, it's just Eitz Ba'alma, so if I eat Eitz Ba'alma, it's not violating Mukdashim. Mukdashim, the Isser Hektish, is only Chal, at least vis-a-vis me, if I eat something that's edible. So if you assume that there's Nosin Tam, so then you could acknowledge it being a second Isser of Hektish on top of that. And then the Chiddush, the Mishnah, won't make sense the way it's being phrased. But now, so therefore the Gemara must say that we're assuming that Ein Begidim Nosin Tam, it's just Eitz Ba'alma, which means there is no Isser Hektish involved here. And the Gemara is going to develop that. Let's see.
Are we talking about Me'ila? We're talking about the Isser of eating it, or by the Kohanim, or by whoever.
I assume that the Isser Me'ila, that one says Mukdashim, I assume that Isser would be Me'ila, no?
I thought that the Mishnah is talking that even Babukdashim you're not allowed to eat it. That's why it's there.
Yeah, what about
or Hana or something?
What about a Kobanola? No. You don't eat it.
No, I think it's just a regular Isser Mila.
I'm saying Kobanola.
Yeah, what about it?
So you would have to get an Usher and a Kobanola. You want to sacrifice in the Kobanola with a get an Usher?
I'm not sure that I'm
over it. Have to move it.
Why can't you bring it as a carbon? I'm confused. We're talking about the person who eats the Giranasha. The Giranasha of an animal that's hektish. So the Gemara says if it's no Saint Tam, so in addition to there being a Giranasha Isser, there's an Isser of hektish as well. That's if you assume that it's edible. So Giranasha is always Asr because the Pasuk says, well, I get a violation of eating a hektish, which is a violation of Mila. Well, that depends whether or not it's no Saint Tam, which means it's edible. And if it's not no Saint Tam, it means it's inedible. I wouldn't get this second Isser of Mukdashim. So the Gemara says.
That's part of the Mishloch.
Yeah, so the Gemara says, Ella, so we have to therefore assume Ella Kasavar Ein Begidim Benosin Tam, that Gidim have no Tam, meaning they're Eitz Ba'alma, and Mukdashim, Uvin Mukdashim, when it comes to an animal that's Hektesh, Isser Gid Ika, but Isser Mukdashim Leka. Since it's inedible, there's no Isser Hektesh, there's no Isser Me'il at all, but there is, of course, an Isser Gidanasha, because the Torah says it's also to eat Gidanasha, even though it might be considered Inonosin Tam, and even though it's considered inedible. So Gemara says, fine, so that's the understanding here. We're saying by Mukdashim, there is an Isser of Gidanasha. So the Gemara says, Vasavatana, Didan, our Brisa really assumes, our Mishnah really assumes, Ein Begidim Nosin Tam, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that there's only an Isser Giran Asher, but there's no Isser Mukdashim, because there's no Eino Begidim Nosin Tam. V'atzan, the Mishnah tells us later on that we're going to learn in the Perek, Yerech Shenizbashel Bagid Hanasha, Im Yesh Vab Nosin Tam, Hare Zu Asura. That if a person mixes a Giran Asher with a whole pot of other foods, if the Giran Asher, there's enough of a ratio for the Giran Asher to infuse taste to the rest of the pot's usher. So clearly, the Mishnah assumes that the Giran Asher is no Saint Tam. So how can the Mishnah later on in Tadivav assumes there's no Saint Tam, and the Mishnah here in Daf Peites assumes it's not no Saint Tam? That's a stira within the very same parak. So that can't be the calculation of whether or not it's no Saint Tam. We have to assume Giran Asher is no Saint Tam. So how? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah then? So the Gemara says, Ella, what's our Mishnah referring to? When it says that Giran Asher applies to Mukdashim, it's talking about a special case. Ella Bahacha Bivlados Kodshim Askinan. We're talking about the animals, the fetuses of the animals that haven't yet been born. The Kasavar Noeg Bishlil. That the Giran Asher applies to the fetus as well. Even though it hasn't yet been born, it still applies, the Giran Asher. The Kasavar Vlados Kodshim Bimeiman Hein Kedoshim. So what happens when you're makdish an animal? Let's say a nekeva, it has to be a nekeva, obviously it wouldn't make sense. So you're makdish a shlamim, a nekeva animal, a cow, and the cow is pregnant. So when you're makdish an animal, the vlad is called vlad kodshim. Now, at what point does that Vlad become Kachim? Is it only become a Kachim once it's born into this world, or already when it's Bemei'iman, when it's already in the mother's womb, in the cow's womb, that's already where it's a Hekdesh. So what the Gemara is telling us here is, it's telling us that the Vlad Kachim is already a din of Hekdesh prior to its being born. When it's Bemei'iman, it has a din of Kedusha to it, and then we assume the Isser Gid, the Isser Mukdashim, Bahade Hadade Kasi, that they come together. So when this Vlad, this calf, is conceived in the cow, the cow which is a Hekdesh, so the Hekdesh animal and the Isser Hekdesh and the Isser Gidanasha come at the very same moment. That's what the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us here. That din.
Whether you know it has the blood in it or not.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference what you know or not. It doesn't make a difference. So take a look at this Rashi. Look at Rashi 5 narrow lines up. He says, "Bevlados kachim, behema shlamim shiyalda, a animal that's a shlamim that gave birth." Vashem inan tana. The Mishnah is teaching us the masnisin de lo tema isim mukdashim kadim v'gid eino noeg b'shliel. Don't say since hik the hekdesh came first when it was in the Me'iman, and then the Isser Gid only comes after the fact when it was born, and we don't say Isser Kal Isser. Don't say again, Dolo Tema Isser Mukdashim was Kadim, because it was still Vlad in the mother's stomach. The Gid Eino Nag B'Shlil. The Chimata Leda, when it came to be born, Lo Asi Gid Chayl Aleha. The Ein Isser Kal Isser we have. Don't say that. Don't say Ein Isser Kal Isser. The Chiddush and the Mishnah telling us, Tarvayu Chaylu, both are Chal, both Isser Hekdesh, and the Isser Gidanasha come at the same time, the Kesavar, Vlados Kadshim, when did it become Kadosh of Vlad? Mishas Yitzirasan, when it's conceived, B'mei Iman, Hen Kadoshim, and the Gidanasha Noeg B'Shlil, so we see that V'Yishtakach, what comes out is, the V'Yitziras HaUbar, when the Uber and the fetus is created, Chalushen, they both come at the same time. But if they came at different points, then we would have said, Ein Isser Chal Isser. So the Mishnah telling us, as follows, that the Isser Hekdesh and the Isser Gid come at the same time, be it Sirs Vlad of the Vlad Kachim. Gemara says, wait a second. Could you really say, Mi Matis Mokmis La B'Shlil? Could you really say that the Resha of the Mishnah that says Mukdashim is referring to a Shlil? The Katani Seifa. The Seifa is talking about Shlil, not the Resha. The Seifa goes on to say that the Tanakhama holds Noeg B'Shlil, and Rabbi Huda argued, doesn't that mechlal the Resha? Doesn't that imply that the Resha is La B'Shlil Askinon? So that'd be very strange that they're talking about the same exact case. And the Gemara says, no, it's very possible. Hachi Kamar. Davar zeh machlokas Rabbi Huda Rabbanim. When the Mishnah said Mukdashim, it was referring to the Shlil, it was referring to Vlados Kachim. And then the Mishnah says, and that discussion about whether the Mukdashim applies to Shlil, or the Isser applies to Shlil or not, that's in fact, Davar zeh is a machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Chachamim, which the Mishnah goes on to elaborate on. So then the Gemara says, fine. So now we've established that Mukdashim is referring to the Shlil, is referring to Vlados Kachim. But there's still another problem. Umi Matis Amrus, could you really suggest the Tervayum Behade Hadadi Kasu that the Isser Hekdesh and the Isser Shliya, the Gira Nasha, really came at the very same moment? That's not. The Mishnah tells us, this is a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Menachos, Nazir. It says, Al Eilu Tumos HaNazir Megaleach. On the following types of tumas, we know that a nazir, one of the three isurim that apply to a nazir is he can't cut his hair, he can't drink wine, and he can't be metame tumas meis. So the Mishnah discusses many cases which is metame the nazir. So it says, on which types of cases is he megalech? Does he have to shave his hair for violating tuma al hameis if he encounters a dead body? And even mal kezayis min hameis, and even if they're just a kezayis, and that shear of a meis, that too will be metame the nazir, which would have to have him shave and start the count all over again. So Gemara asks, V'kashalot, Akazayis min ha-meis megaleach, Akula lo kosherkein? Why does the Mishnah have to say both a full meis and a kazayis min ha-meis? The Mishnah could have just said, a kazayis min ha-meis is enough to be megaleach anazir. And vadai kavachomer, a full meis. So why does it separate full meis? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan comes to explain, lo nitzacha ela l'nefel shel lo nikshiru av evarav begidim. It's referring to a nefel. What's it mean to al mace? It doesn't mean al mace, a regular body that was dead. It's referring to a nefel, a stillborn, whose limbs haven't yet connected yet with begidim. Rashi says, last Rashi on the page here, l'nefel shekula kayim. The nefel is somewhat intact, but vadayin lo niskashu evarim begidim. They didn't yet start connecting the different gidim. The sinews weren't developed yet. Sharei kol evarim notzarim, vadayin ein olav kezayis basar. So this is a case of a mace without the kezayis basar. There's either kezayis basar or mace without kezayis basar. That's the chiddush of this mishnah. Fine. What's the relevance to our case? The Gemara says, Alma, going now to Daf Tzadi, just a few lines down. Alma Isser Mukdashim Kondom. So we see here that the Isser Mukdash takes place beforehand. Why? Because what happens if you are Makdish a cow? If you're Makdish a cow, so then the cow becomes pregnant, that Vlad becomes Kadosh. But the Gid isn't created yet. The moment that calf is conceived, there's an Isser Hektish. Gid Hanasha, the Gidim, don't develop till later on. I'm just going to say 6 months into the pregnancy. So you see, the Isser Hektish is Chal day one, and the Isser Gid only kicks in 6 months later during the pregnancy. So we see that the Isser Hektish comes before. They don't come at the same moment like we had assumed before, that Havdei Havdadei Kasu. Not true. Hektish comes before the Isser of Gid Hanasha.
When it says Shelonit Kashyobar of the Gideon, it's talking about a person or a behema?
This case has to be a person, because it's talking about a Nazir.
Right.
So we're comparing the Adam and... Yeah, had Adam. But we're viewing that development similar.
It fell from a woman.
Yeah, but now we're bringing back to our case.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
It has to be.
So either way, we see in terms of the development of a fetus that the Isser Hektish comes before the Gidim come into existence. So how could the Gemara assume before that that they both Isurim came at the same moment? And the Gemara says, you're right. There is a problem of Ein Isser Chal Isser. Normally we say one Isser cannot be Chal on already pre-existing Isser, and therefore you should say that there should only be an Isser Hektish by Vladis Kadshim. There shouldn't be an Isser Gid Hanasha, but nonetheless, says the Gemara, Af Agav, the Isser Mukdashim Kadim, even though the Isser Hektish came first, Asa Isser, Gid, and Chayil Alayo. The Isser, Gid was strong enough to be Chayil on top of that. Why? Shekein Isuri Noeg Bivnei Noach. We're going to see a discussion later on about whether or not Gid Anasha applies to Ben Noach or not, but we're assuming at this point it does apply to Ben Noach, and since it applies to Ben Noach, it shows us it's more severe. Right? The Isser Mukdashim doesn't apply to Ben Noach. And normally we say Ein Isser Chayil Isser. But if the second Isser is stronger, Isser Kolel, Isser Mosev, different types of Isurim, but if it's more Chamer, then we would say Yesh Isser Chayil Isser. So even though Mukdashim, the Isser Mila comes first, the Isser Gid Hanasha is strong enough, it's potent enough to be Chayil on top of that, and that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that there's an Isser Hektesh and an Isser Gid Hanasha when it comes to Vlados Kachim.
First of all, the first